Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Yud Beit Amud Aleph. Tana, Ochlin Umashkin Tachat Hamita, Afilu Mechupim Bechlei Barzel, Ruach Ra'a Shore Aleihem. Based on these inyanim as well, since the inyan of sleeping on something is very similar to the tumma of death, as we know, we have to wash our hands in the morning, and so on and so forth. So because of that, there is a getter of a tumma that comes from having things underneath the bed, and we'll talk about tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, of the implications of halacha and this kind of stuff. And this is pure, it's brought as part of the dinim of Ruach Ra. Tana Rabbana. Lo yishta adam mayim lo b'lelei revi'iyot v'lo b'lelei shabbatot. So as we saw before, there's a various shadim that are connected, or ruach ro, that are connected and need water. And there are particular times in which if you don't have a light on, and specifically on nights where there's a reshus for the shadim to go, used to be for Abaya threw them out, it used to be that the shadim were allowed out on Tuesday nights or Friday nights. So if you go and you drink without any kind of light on that night, so if you drink water, then damo berasho. So that, the Gemara is going to clarify later the or, but this is a danger. What exactly is the danger? There's a danger of a ruach ra'ah, which in the dark has shaykhes to water. And im tzarche maita kante. So what exactly are we talking about over here? What exactly can he do about it? So you can say the shiva kodeshama dovel alamayim v'adanishta. You should say over the psukim that we say at the beginning of Shabbos, which is all of the various kelais alamayim, kol Hashem alamayim, Shemar will go to kol Hashem alamayim, kela kavadirim, Hashem alamayim rabim, kol Hashem bekeach, kol Hashem behadar, kol Hashem shaver arazim, vayishaber Hashem et arzei alvanon, kol Hashem chotzev lavot esh, kol Hashem yachim libar, yachil Hashem midbar kadesh, kol Hashem yecholel ayalot, vayecholo kolayam merchavot. So these things, because it introduces everything with Kol Hashem Alamayim, we see that these things are being Omur Alamayim. This gives a getter of Kedusha to the Mayim that protects a person from any type of Ruach Ra, V'ilo. If you, for some reason, can't say that over, so then you can say just a meaningless thing, which is an incantation of some kind that affects the Shadim, Lul Shafan Anigron Anir Dafin, Bein Kochaveyat Ivna, Bain Baliya Shemina Azilna. I'm sitting between the stars. I use the shemas of the shadim. I'm sitting between the stars, and there's a lot of fat people all around me, a lot of thin people all around me. They look pretty yummy to me. And what are you looking at me for? The Elo, if that doesn't work, or you don't know, don't remember that, he can ish by day if somebody's with you. So then you should wake that person up and tell him, Mr. So-and-so, Planya, the son of so-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, I am thirsty. Okay, and then after doing that, after the guy bashes you on the head for waking him up, then you drink. V'ilo, if nobody's with you, so then make it sound like people are with you. You know, take like a pot cover and a pot and bang, and bekarkish nachnu achatzpa, so bang the top of a barrel on a barrel, make plenty of noise, and then you drink, and that makes it look like somebody's with you. And if that doesn't work, so then you should first be nishte bamide vada nishte. So throw something into the water and then drink. Tana Rabbana, lo yishta damayim lo min ha-na'arot v'lo min ha-agamim balayla. You should not drink at night where you cannot see. So that was talking about not drinking directly from na'arot or agamim. That was talking about drinking from kalim that you have. And those things are only a problem on lele revi'ais and lele shabbatot. Over here we're talking about bichlal, where there's all kinds of things can be coming down the water at night, and over there you should be makbid on any night. Vim shatada morosho, mipnei sakana. It's very dangerous. What is the danger? The danger is shavriri. Now shavriri is a type of again, this was a ruach ra'ah that causes blindness. So there's a shade that can, or a ruach that can cause blindness. So what should you do if you need to drink? V'yitzachi maitakante. So if somebody is with you, so you should say to that person, as we said before, planya bar polanta, tzachina mayim, Mr. So-and-so, son of Mrs. So-and-so, I am thirsty. V'ilo, lema iyo lenafshe. If nobody's with you, so then you say to yourself, hey, you, Mr. So-and-so, and you use your name, of course, Mr. So-and-so, you know, my mother always told me, is dahir mi shavriri. Remember a shavriri? You know, shavriri. Well, maybe it's only viriri. Riri, 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 riri. And that gets the shade all nervous because now it's about to explode. Nothing's left. So that seems to undo it. And I drink that. Tzachine maya b'chase chivri. So I am very thirsty for water in either glass cups, different things are in white cups. White cups could be coffee mugs. Okay, anyway, let's finally get...
What are you using now?
Nothing, I can't. And this is, we said, that you're mechuyev to give even an oni b'Yisrael, even if it's something that comes directly from the tamchut. So, I mean, obviously, no. I mean, aren't we mechuyev to give people whatever it is that they need for the kiyum of the mitzvahs of the Seder? No, the Chiddush is like this. Rabbi Akiva said that it's more important for a person to be aseh Shabbat chachov al tichtarech lebriot. So a person should rather, even though you have a chiv to eat your seudas on Shabbos, but do not, if you cannot afford the shalosh seudas, don't be thrown into charity just because you need to be mekayim that. It was more kedai if you have enough on your own to be able to have two seudas, have those two seudas, and it's better to go without than that you should be put into a position where you have to all of a sudden start accepting this charity. Mashenkin, when it comes to the inyonim of the Arba Kosos, over there it's different. Because since over here there's a getter of Pursume Nisa, we have gears, some have gears just because of Nisa. But over here, because either of the Hakaras Teva of the Nes, so that you're not allowed to think about yourself, or because in order to be a fire some HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nisim, so over there even Rabbi Akiva is made of that. For that mitzvah, it's a very special mitzvah, for that mitzvah, it's kedai even to be pushed over the brink to have to accept tzedakah. Tana Devei Eliyahu, Afa Pishamar Rabbi Akiva, Asei Shabbat Chachol, Ve'al Tetzterech L'Briyot. So even though the Maaser Rabbi Akiva said, look, it's kedai to just use the normal money that you would during the week, and better not to be thrown into a position where you need to come to be totally on tzedakah. Still, it's better on some level to do some small thing. So not something that's going to push you into needing to take charity, but you should have some type of special kind of thing. Now, lemaisa, there are some who paskin, and this is the way the Gra understands the Gemara, is that for some small, tiny thing, if you can't even do that for Shabbos, then Rabbi Akiva also holds that you have to do something. Okay, that not everybody agrees to that by any means, and that's the way the Gra understands it. Parshta says you're not mechuyev to, and what it's saying is do more than you can, and try to do a little something, even if it's not something that's expensive, not something, it's something you just do in your house, which is why it says betoch beito. That's the pashtus. So that it's telling you, you don't have to buy something. If you have the ability to make something nice in your house, and it's not going to cost you a lot, so then there's a mitzvah to do that, and at least do that. What is that little something? For instance, my niyu, Rav Papa, look, at least get a kasadar sana. Kasadar sana means a couple of sardines that you cook in flour or something. Anybody should be able to get something like that. And because of that, that would be at least something that you cooked for Shabbos, and you would be mekayim the mitzvah of hachana of the man and so on, to have something that you need to cook and something that you need to bake. So you're mekayim with that. Where do we see this from? Kiditzan. Because the Mishnah in Avay says that Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer, that sometimes you need to do more than appears to be humanly possible. So you can be az kinamer. So you should be like, as chutzpah, we call it bold, like a namer is. And a leopard is pretty tough. Vikal kinesher, ratz kitzvi, gibor gari. I mean, obviously, you can't really normally be that way. But there are times, as we know, that people are pushed beyond their normal keichas. And when you have a clear-cut rotzein to do something, you can manage somehow, even though it looks to you like it's absolutely impossible. It's incredible what people can do when they're pushed. And this is exactly what the Mishnah is saying, which again, the Pashas is not like the Gra, that the whole point in the sugya over here is to tell you, B'davka, even though you're not going to be pushed into tzedakah, and you think there's nothing you can do, you'd be shocked at like the little things that it's possible to work out. So this idea brings us, once already, we started talking about the Aseh Shabbat Chachol of Rabbi Akiva. So the truth is that that was part of a tzava that Rabbi Akiva taught his son. The Tanur Rabbanan. Shiva Dvarim Tziva Rabbi Akiva et Rabbi Yoshua Beno. Bini. Al teshev begova shel ir v'tishne. First thing is, you're going to be learning. Don't learn in a place where you're exposed to everybody. Everybody's coming by. So there's two approaches. If everybody's coming by, then for sure you're going to be disturbed. So try to find a place where people do not disturb you. The other approach is that there's a getter of tzniut and not to be in a position of exposing your learning to everybody. And therefore, you should be in a private place. Others learn that it's because it looks like gaiva, so that you're showing off to everyone that you're the Talmud Chacham. The alta dur bi'ir, shiroshia tamidei chachamim. Never live in a city where Shas won the election. The alti kanes, or something like that anyway. Anyway, wherever you're going to have tamidei chachamim, and these are people that are really not involved very much in the needs of the city because they're too busy learning and they're not gonna be able to do what needs to be done. There's all types of different approaches over here. Some learn it's because in the end everybody's gonna hate them. since the Talmud Chacham is not gonna sit around being machnif to people the way politicians usually are. So the end result is that he's not gonna have any friends. And therefore it's gonna cause tremendous political problems. And you don't want it to reflect on the way people relate to Talmidei Chachamim in general. Look at these ridiculous decisions. I mean, and so on and so forth. You don't have time to sit and fight with people and to get the city council to go along with you and so on and so forth. So because of that, it causes a tremendous problem because even if it isn't because of the Bittul Torah that's involved. Fine. Okay. There's other Pirushim as well. Pinogea, the damage that it will cause to the Talmidei Chachamim, that they're going to have to suddenly dress the part and so on and so forth. But whatever, the simple shot is perfectly good. Al tikanes lebeitcha pitom. Never walk into your house without knocking on the door. And that was actually part of this week's parsha, in which we learn out that the pa'amonim, the big issue over in the Pa'amonim is mentioned again throughout, Pa'amon Rimon V'Zav, Pa'amon Rimon V'Zav. And the idea over there is that when a person is coming into a place where privacy is an important nekuda, so then he has to make sure that his coming in is announced so that there's bells, either a doorbell or a door or a bell that he's wearing on his clothing, and that itself creates the mourning that he's coming. That's why the Kohen Gadol, when he's coming into the Beis HaMikdash, that's why he should wear that. So he learns out from there that Bechlal, you never know when you're walking into a place, even if it's your own place, don't walk in because you don't know that people are not involved in something private. Kol shekein lebeit chavercha. Obviously, somebody else's house to walk in without knocking is outrageous. V'al timna min alim raglecha. Don't in any way be too stingy to get yourself shoes. You need to go out, like what the Gemara says. If somebody walks around without shoes, it's like a chamor. So it's usur to do that. Hashkem ve'echol, you should eat early in the day during the summer, because it gets very hot later on. It's hard to eat when the day is hot. And in the winter also, because you're going to need the energy in the beginning of the day to be able to stand up against the cold, you'll feel much stronger. This is where Rabbi Akiva said that it was in the context of all of these things. And you should try to do some level of business with a person who's in a good position and who's having a lot of hatzlocha. In other words, this is his hour. It's his time of mazel. Omer of Papa, when we say that you should do business with him, that does not mean, at least that's what he thought, That does not mean lo lemizban minei v'lo lezabnuni minei. It doesn't mean to try to do a deal with him in terms of selling to him or buying from him, because it's the worst time to do it with somebody who's being matzliach, because he's in a better position. He's going to end up getting the better deal. You have to assume he's going to end up getting the better deal and not you. So because of that, that couldn't be what it meant, right? So it must mean lemevat shutafut ba'day, like you want to get into whatever he's into. So because of that, if one of the partners is having a good mazel, so then the other partner is going to have also some of that mazel at least come off on him. That's what Rav Papa explained. But the truth is that that wasn't really true. Because Hashta Damar Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, now we learned that really Shmuel Bar Yitzchak explained the pasuk. Why does it say Legabi Iyov? So it says Maaseh Yadav Beirachta. So the mission of whatever he had taken into his hands. So that was Mivurach. Mivurach means that it expands outwards. So therefore, what that means is that Kol HaNotel Prutami of Midbarech. It doesn't matter. Even if you manage to sell a roll to Eov, you've got some of Eov's money, that carries a bracha with it. So then it would be true that Enochinami, it's Kedai Afil Mizban Mine, Vilazabunele, to do anything with him, even if he gets the better of it. It's still Kedai. Because you are going to anyway have some of that shine of Eov rub off on you. Okay, then there were other things that Rabbi Akiva spoke out to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Shimon Bar Yochai, of course, that was the Talmud at the end of Ube'erev al Tanach Yadecha. Those were the Talmidim, and the chief of those Talmidim was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So this was the time that Rabbi Akiva was in the... when he was killed after the Gezeiras, that he wasn't allowed to be teaching Torah. So at this point, he was already imprisoned. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, Rabbi, so teach me some Torah. I need to get everything I can out of you. So Rabbi Akiva says, absolutely not. What are you nuts? That's all we need. Then they'll take you and they'll throw you into jail also. So what am I going to now hear, where somebody may overhear us? Oh, my law, okay, I'm warning you. Either you teach me, or if not, I'm going to speak to my dad. You know, Yochai, my dad's a very powerful guy, you know. I am going to turn you in for a lot worse than you did until now. Then they're really going to get you. So Rabbi Akiva said to him, listen, my son, well, you think I don't want to teach you? I'm dying to teach you. Yoter mimasha ega rotzeli nok parar rotzeli emnik. I would love to suckle you, man, but I'm not going to do it to you. It's dangerous. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, okay, but who's the one in danger? You know, is it the calf or is it the mommy? I mean, it's obviously the calf in danger. You're already in prison. So I'm the one who's taking the risks over here. So what are you now? Like one of these liberal governments? You're going to tell me what risks I can take and what risks I can't take. This is the risk I want to take. So I insist that you teach me. So Rabbi Akiva said to him, well, okay, I'll give you a couple of very important advices, okay? Im bikashta lechanek, if you feel like really getting choked, so at least choose yourself a tall tree. Hitale bi'ilan gadol. So you're going to hang yourself anyway. So you might as well get on the highest tree. So in other words, if you want to be in a matzav where you're going to now paskin, this is how the Rashbam learns it, so b'meila, you're putting yourself into tremendous sakana of being the one in charge. So then make sure that everything that you've learned from someone that you can rely on, and you're able to quote your Rebbe, and therefore they'll accept them. Rashi's pshat is that, and this we see in other places in the Gemara, that even if you weren't taught this halacha, claim that you were, so that people should be bekablet. In other words, if you know that this is the halacha, then you pretend that you heard it from somebody else, because otherwise they won't accept it from you. So because of that, you should, if you're going to hang yourself already, you're taking a chance on halacha, so make a big tree, take a big tree, and quote it in the name of the tree. Okay, this is already a big shaila, how are you allowed to do it? It's on, but this sugya is elsewhere. Again, maybe we'll have time tomorrow to look into it more.
We always said, if you don't know a source, say it's a Yalkut Shimoni in Habakkuk.
Okay, very good. But that's not when you made up the source, right? If you're going to teach your child, make sure that you're using a sefer that is mugah, and it doesn't have mistakes in it. Well, what does this mean? Omer of Beitemer of Meshasha, what it means is that when it's Bechadata, you're teaching him something at the beginning of his learning, because then you have to be tremendously makpid, because Shabeshta, given the al. Once a mistake gets into the head of a kid, it's a disaster. It's very difficult to get it out again. And that, so, therefore, you have to be extremely careful at that point. Okay. Fine. Obviously, the Sephardim's approach is, it's not Stamos, it's based on the Gemara that says the terrible story that happened with Amalek, that they had misread it as Zecher Amalek, instead of Zecher Amalek, and this caused a tremendous mess up later on. So because of that, it's referring over here teaching the Trup correctly. So over there, if you're teaching him to lane, and you're using something that has any kinds of mistakes in it, so then that can be transmitted like all the way down the line. Another thing that Rabbi Akiva taught Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was lo tevashel b'kedei Rashi b'shel b'chavercha. Don't cook in a pot that your friend has already cooked in, which is a euphemism of some kind. So what it's referring to, don't take a woman who is divorced while her husband is alive. So in other words, don't marry a divorcee where the husband is still around, because the Amar Mar, because we know that if a divorced man marries a divorced woman, then there's four people in the bed, because everybody's comparing the other person's performance with their first lover and whatever. And so you're not allowed to be thinking about somebody else. So fine, if the person died already, so then after 12 months, there's a gezeirah that the mace should be forgotten, and at that point, it's not a problem. But if the person is b'chaye, the husband, so then she's going to be thinking of him. But others say that this is not true, that it's limited to somebody that's alive, and that Rabbi Akiva is talking about even if this woman is a widow. Because ain't kol ha'etzba'ot shavot, because not everybody's equipment is the same as everybody else. She's always going to be wondering whether this guy is doing as well as her first husband, and she used to enjoy sleeping with him more than she enjoyed sleeping with you. You don't need comparisons in sexual performance. Another thing that Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is a mitzvah and a guf gadol. Look, let me tell you something. You want to do a big mitzvah that's still going to make you a lot of money? So then the thing to do is ochel pirot velo sachar. What you should do is you lend somebody money. And you do this on the basis of utilizing the pirot, like in a mashkanta de surah, we're over there. Let's say you give him a mortgage and you don't take any payment from him. He needs the money. So you make a deal with him. And we said this, we had all this discussion about a mashkanta de surah, where you're going to be paid back in payros that grow, and it's going to be at a better rate, which makes you a lot of money. And then there's all kinds of questions over this, how you avoid rebeat and all of that, fine. But whatever the halachas are over there, which were quite complex, use a mashkanta de sura, take a payment in terms of a percentage of the growth. That way you're going to end up making a very good deal for yourself. And the borrower, meanwhile, the low, if we have it with a vav, like most people apparently have, then to the borrower will be the profit of the money that you lent him, which is a tremendous mitzvah. And meanwhile, you've got like a very good investment where you know exactly what it is that you've got the investment against. And because of that, you'll be making money too. So everybody's going to be happy. It'll be great. If you want to do a mitzvah, and maintain through that mitzvah also a guf tahor, so then nosei isha, you should marry a woman, velo banim. So that could mean velo banim, meaning that you will then have children, is one possibility. Or even though you already have children, don't get married specifically to have more children, but get married to be able to make sure that you don't fall into sins. You should have a woman. All right. There's also other things, once we're already talking about a lot of important advice to children. First of all, don't live in Shachvetziv. Okay, I'll tell you why. These guys are late sanim. They're cynics. And to live in a town that has cynics in it, they are going to be moshech you. Moshech lecha b'leit sanu. So one of the things about cynicism is the fact that you need to always sort of counter it with a one-upmanship. So it always encourages cynicism in response. And because of that, without even knowing it, you become cynical in one-upman fashion until all of your interrelationships are phony. And that's awful because you don't realize what's happening to you. And to be in a society like that is one of the most devastating things you could do to yourself. So that's the first thing to be careful. Another thing to be careful is don't sit down on the bed of an Aramit. So what does that mean? Well, one shot is don't go to sleep without first saying Kriyat Shema, because that's like basically going to sleep like a goy. So that's what it means. Don't sleep on a bed the way that a non-Jew is going to go to sleep without having any thoughts of anything important, without being shayach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without giving over a feeling to yourself of how it is that you want to go to sleep and so on. That's one approach. Second approach is Yikri Amri, Delotin Sav Giyurta. It means not to marry a Giyoret whose mind is still in, he may very well say something that's going to hurt her feelings. Because since it says you have to be very careful not to insult a ger, even for 10 generations, and we know how makbid HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on causing the least bit of pain to a ger, so the normal kind of things that might be passable in a wedding between a regular guy and a woman, okay, so you say things that are hurtful. But over here, if she's a giyoret, then the hurtful kind of things that you could say could be devastating. So because of that, it's not worth to get into that kind of situation. Other possibilities are that since a giyoret is going to still be sensitive to the values that she came from, that we're bringing Raya from Yitro, that even though here he had come and he left everything behind, that nonetheless, you have to be very careful not to hurt him and so on. But because of that, you'd have to be too careful of those values. Others say that it means literally an Aramait. And that was the Mice of Rav Papa. Remember we had that Mice of Rav Papa. She was trying to mess up Rav Papa to whom she owed money. So the Mice happened. We had this Mice similar to the Mice then in Brochas we had. It's brought here a little different by the Rashbam. But in any event, what happened over there was that she owed money to him and he came into the house and she wanted to mess him up. So, I mean, here the Rashbam says she choked her son, her son had died, whatever, and she wanted to blame it on Rav Papa and she invited Rav Papa. It's slightly different stories. But in any event, she had Rav Papa sit down on the bed of an Aramait and then she called the cops and claimed that he had sat down on her kid and he had killed her and killed the child. So this way she figured she'll get out of the money she owed him here. In any event, he meant to be giving, literally, you never know what you're going to get yourself into just sitting down in a Mita Aramait. Now, obviously, the story hadn't happened yet for him to, I mean, Rav Yehuda HaNasi was before Rav Papa, but it means that type of thing, Mishum Maisa to Rav Papa. See, it's a little problematic, because sometimes when we use the word Mishum Maisa, it means a specific Maisa, we say Mishum Maisa Shohaya. But this is not that type of thing. It's just the Gemara is explaining what type of thing did Rebbe have in mind, the type of Maisa that happened to Rav Papa. Furthermore, he said, don't try to get away from paying when you come into the country and pretend that that's not your new iPad that you're bringing in with you, because if they catch you, then you're in big trouble, because then they'll take away more than it cost you for the taxes. That's a bad idea. So Dilma Mishkechulach of Ashakli bin Al-Kol Deitlach, they may find it, and then they'll take things that they wouldn't have otherwise. Obviously, we're not talking over here about normal, rightful meches, because that you don't have a right to be mavriach from. It's talking about over here the idea of the mochsim that used to pay money to be able to tax you, basically, illegally, what they want. And that's every time you cross a bridge and so on. They would do this a lot. So be very careful about that kind of thing. And al ta'amod bifnei ha'shor b'sha'asha ole ben ha'agam. If a shor is coming up from this real rich grazing in the agam, he's feeling really good about himself. Let me tell you something. You don't want a shor that's feeling his oats. And that's Mipnei Shasatan Merakeid Ben Karnav. You might as well have the devil dancing between his horns, because let me tell you something. He's got you in his little eyes. Omer Rebbe Shmuel, but we're not talking about any time. We're talking about during Nisan, which is, of course, tonight. So we're talking about a shor shachor, and he's got to be one of these really hatsi-tatsi shors, this black shor, he's ready to attack anything. And it's Biyomei Nisan, and he's coming up from this rich grazing. Put it all together, and this shor is hot, let me tell you. And you're looking like a nice target. Tony Ravoshaya. Look, if this is a nice, calm, simple shor, never hurt anybody in his life, okay, all you need to do is stay away about 100 feet, you know, then maybe you can get away in time. But if this is a shor that's ever started up with anybody, then make sure that it's not within range of vision at all. Rabbi Meir says, are you kidding? In range of vision? Even if the head of the shor has got itself buried and it's busy eating and it's right inside of its basket, it's not looking up at you. You think it's not looking up at you. Let me tell you something. The thing to do, run up to the nearest roof and take the ladder out to make sure that the shor can't climb up after you. So throw that ladder down and wait till the fire department comes to rescue you. Oh, my Rav. Niza the Torah, hein. What exactly a niza is, there's a couple of different pshatim, but it's basically the cry that you use to communicate with an animal and getting it to do what you want. So some learn that it means over your, the way you would chase something away. Some learn the way that you get it to like just start working with you with a certain rhythm. So that these are rhythms, and those are the kind of things that animals, you know, everybody that deals with a particular guy, hey boy, you know, there's ways in which you talk to particular animals in different ways. So for a bull, the word is hein. For a lion, it's zeze. For a camel, it's da-da. And if you need a boat to do a good job with you, then you got to get Richie with you. And then where is Richie anyway? What's going on over here? Is Richie hiding on us? We need a captain to sing this one. Ah, hey, so now we need you to sing with us. Come on, man. Give it all the way when you're using those oars, you know, the old days. Amrabaye. Or, Dag, Kotschamin, Ubechim, Vikinim, Lafonim, Kulam, Kashim, Ladavar, Acher. We're going to go through each one of these in a moment. So, all of these things, you're talking about a skin or a fish, or kos, exactly what kos, chamin, if that's a separate thing, kos, we're going to take a look at each one of these things in the Gemara, eggies, and lice, white lice, they're all very bad for something that we don't want to mention, which is usually what we refer to tzaraat. So let's go through each one of these. When it says skins, what it means is if you're going to sleep on a skin that was in a tannery and was not finished tanning, that is very dangerous for your skin. And dog is referring to specifically a shibuta biyume de nisan. So this is the kind of, again, it's not clear what that is, what we're talking about little fish, big fish. But whatever it is during Nisan, this stuff has got a certain poison in it that can cause you to get tzaras. A kos refers to not kos chamin, but a kos of harsana. So if you eat any kind of leftovers of harsana, we said before, it's, you know, that drink, I mean, that thing that you do for Shabbos where you got some sardines and stuff. Chamin is a separate thing. It's not kos chamin, it's chamin. So chamin means somebody who takes very hot showers. Chamimi de chamimi meshadu aloy. So he has the water poured over him and it's very hot, and that can damage your skin. And beitzim refers to somebody who steps over eggshells. And kinim levanim, those are lice that if you got any brains, you need to wait after washing your clothes. You need to make sure that there are no, there's no eggs that remained from the washing. That takes 8 days. So if you're going to wear those clothes before 8 days pass, so then you're going to get reinfected. And therefore, if you don't keep them off of you for 8 days, and you put them on before 8 days, so then those kinim, they come on you again. The kash ledover acha, those type of kinim damage your skin and make it vulnerable to leprosy or tzaraas. Omer of Papa, beta the itbashinri, if you shouldn't know, if you've got a cat living in your house, then make sure you don't walk around barefoot. You know why? Because cats, they love to kill snakes. They'll eat the snake, and then there's these little thin bones that are in the spine of the snake. And if one of them gets into your foot and penetrates your foot, it can cause such an awful infection. It's very difficult to get out. And lo nothing, you can't get it out. Because of that, you're going to get an infection in your leg, and it's a danger. Others say the opposite, that if you live in a house that doesn't have a cat, then you should not walk around in the dark unless you're wearing something to protect you. You may not even notice that this snake, which the cat would have killed, but which you didn't even notice in the dark, could actually wrap itself around you and mistaken, and therefore it would be dangerous for you. Obviously, this is referring to times when there were snakes very much in the homes, and they used to have dirt floors and could easily have snakes in the house. Actually, in Yerushalayim, they used to have cats, but they do still have cats. They used to have cats in the house, and that only started up, I mentioned to you once, it's only started up once the monkeys got a flu. They used to use monkeys in Yerushalayim because of the snakes, and there was a tremendous avian flu, I guess, that spreads to other wildlife. Anyway, the monkeys all got sick. And after that, they brought in these famous Yerushalmi cats, which is why nobody can throw out garbage anymore, because they're too terrified of the cats. Anyway, you bring them in to work for you, in the end, you work for them. Shlosha Dvarim Tziva Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi as Rabbi. So there were three things that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi told to Rebbe, which is a little bit strange, because, I mean, Rebbe was his Rebbe, not his Talmud. So maybe it's supposed to say Rav. Anyway, those things are, first of all, Al Ta'as Mumba Atzmecha. Don't make yourself damage with a mum. What is that supposed to mean? It means don't be stupid, okay? If you've got three people that you set up as partners, you're pretty stupid. But maybe you're going to have to go to court with three people. That's wonderful. One of them will be the one to sue you, and the other two will be the witnesses. And who do you think is going to lose? So don't ever put yourself into that kind of ridiculous situation where you start trusting people. Oh, my God. Because over there, Avichad Baldincha betray Sahade. Another thing is, if you don't have money to buy now, so then don't start arguing with somebody what the price is when you're not really able at this point to buy it. So this, first of all, may cause him hefset, because since he's thinking that you're a serious buyer, so maybe somebody else comes in meanwhile, and he sees you're an easier kind of guy to get along with, he doesn't sell it to the other guy. Meanwhile, he loses his real buyer, and in the end, you're not going to be able to buy it. Others say that it's psychological, because even discussing something with someone, even if you end up not buying it because of that, and the guy thinks that you're not buying it because you think it's too expensive, the next guy that comes around, he may lower his price, which he didn't really have to lower because you weren't a serious contender anyway, and you might actually have gone for it. Okay, so there's various issues that's not right to do to somebody. Your wife comes back from the mikveh, don't sleep with her that night. Now, this is Rav that's talking about in the days before the women were mekablot on themselves, that they are supposed to keep shivas nikiyim. So nowadays, we keep shivas nikiyim is not a problem. But in those days, remember, even if a woman was rei adam on the same day, and there's mayan patuach, she could go to the mikveh that night and sleep with her husband. So that is sort of dangerous. When she has established a time in which she's no longer being Raya, so you shouldn't be the one that takes the risk. Wait until she establishes that she's not being Raya. We're worried that she may continue to be Raya Dam, especially if it's triggered by sleeping with her. Shlosha Devarim Tziva Reb Yosef Reb Yudat Rebbe, which is the same question, maybe it's supposed to say, Rav, I don't know. Al teitzei yechidei belaila, don't go out alone at night. V'yalta amod b'fnei haner arum. Do not stand naked in front of a light. V'al tikanes l'merchatz chadash. Shema tifachet. You don't want to go into a brand new public bathhouse, because if the floor, remember those first floor gets settled in, the floor would open up, collapse, and because of that, here it's very strange because Rashi and the Rashbam bring that the issue is because underneath it's filled with water, and that is not the issue. The issue in the Gemara that we had, remember, we spoke about in a couple of places, is because we're supposed to say in Brochas, it says Beferish, that you know, Tatzileni min ha'ur. So it's the fire that I'm worried about, because that was the derech of heating the floors of the bathhouse, and you could actually fall into the big fire that was underneath circulating the water. So I don't know why both Rashi and Rashbam say that underneath it's full of water. I don't know exactly why it says that. Okay. And ad kama, when we say until it's, while it's new, what does that mean? While it's new means 12 months. So if 12 months passed already, then it's probably going to keep up. And it's not going to, if it's up to 12 months, it's still sort of settling in there. Now, what's this issue about standing naked in front of a lamp? Why? The Tanya, this also is in Yonim that have to do with aspects of shedim, ruchais, and a lack of tznias. So, person can become epileptic because of a ruach of that causes nichpa if he stands in front of a light and exposes himself to these ruchot. The same thing is true if somebody has intercourse and he has a light on, having lebanim nichpim, that can cause also his children to become nichpim. Somebody who has intercourse on a bed where a child is asleep on the bed, then that child could become epileptic. But this is only if A, the child is not a year old. So Amri lo avi bar shata. If the child is already a year old, we're not worried about it. Furthermore, it's only if the child is by the bottom of the bed, the foot of the bed. Avagani ladi reshi, if the child is sleeping above the parents, so meaning, you know, above their pillow, so then letlan, but there's nothing to worry about. And furthermore, it's only if you don't put your hand on the child. If you put your hand on the child, then that prevents the nichba. And then what was the thing you said? Not to go out at night alone? Why not? Al titzei yichidi balayla. Titanya lo yitzei yichidi balayla. Lo belele revi'iot velo belele shabbatot. So you're not allowed to go out at night again because of shedim. And why is that? Because on Tuesday nights and Friday nights, Ograt bar Machlat, he v'shmona esrei ribo shemalachei chabala yotzim. That's because that is the special time that this very dangerous shade was in charge of other shade, and there's a lot of issues of how she came and the whole history of with Chava and with Anna Marishon. So she's in charge of all of these horrible Malachi Chavala, and she's got 180,000 of these dangerous kinds of ruchas. And kol echad v'echad yesh lo reshut l'chabel b'fnei atzmo. Every single one of these dangerous things is enough to get rid of you. So you certainly don't want to expose yourself to such a thing. It used to be, when we say dafka Tuesday nights and Friday nights, it used to be mikora havishchichei kula yume. Every single day at night, that is to say, these shadim used to be around, and nobody should go out. But it happened. Why do we say only Tuesday night and only Friday night? Because once Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was walking along, and this Agras Bach Machlas, she bumps into Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, and she says to him, "Man, you got a lot of nerve. You love the Machlas and Allah Barakia Izaru Bechaninu Bitoratel Sekanticha." If it wouldn't have been that in the Shamayim, they've got this whole thing about how important you are, and I was warned, just don't hurt Rabbi Chanina because you have to have covet for him and his learning, I would have torn you to pieces. So he says to her, "Oh yeah, well, let me tell you something. If that's how important I am in the Shamayim, how about if I make a gezerah on you that you are not allowed to pass in places where people are forever, huh? oh no, she said, please, Rabbi Hanina, don't do that to me, anything but that. Bam tusa minach, I beg you, shvakli rav kapurta, please leave me a little bit of time, so at least I can have some fun. Okay, says Rabbi Hanina, I leave you Friday night and Tuesday night. And then, so that's when this Gemara was stated that, okay, so don't go out on Tuesday night and on Friday night. But then she made the mistake of bumping into Abaya. So she bumps into Abaya, and she says to him, man, you got nerve. He loved the Mikra Zealach Barakia, Yizaru Benachmeniu Betorato, Avisakintach, I would have gotten rid of you. I'm like, well, if I'm so chashev, I think it's time for you to get out of populated areas totally. So it goes, Rani Alaki Shotavuri, Yishuv Lolam. This is what we brought La'alokhada, because that I went out Cheshish, because nowadays I already got rid of everybody. So because of that, we don't have to worry about any of this. But wait, I don't understand. I mean, we always see these things passing by, don't you? I mean, for heaven's sakes, have you never seen Shadim's horses running and Shadim running after them? I mean, so how can he say that it's not allowed if we all see these things all the time? Okay, Chazina de Avra. No, no, the things that you say, that's just the Shadim that were going through places where nobody was living, and then their horses ran away from them. So now they're just running and chasing the horses to get them back, you see. But certainly that is not, I mean, no, they're scared. They're just trying to get the horse back and run away. So that's Gezaita Nino Deshamti Susayeva Tabrilo. They've only come to get them back. And now some very practical advice. So Amalei Rav Ravasi, first of all, do not live in a town that doesn't have a horse, okay? So if there's no horse neighing in town, then there's no way that you're going to be able to defend the town. You're not going to be able to catch up with the Ganovim. You're not going to have warning that Ganovim. It's terrible. And it's in a dog house with a town where there's no dog. To Lo Navak Bakalba also. So you don't have any warnings. We need all of this. Do not live in a town where the mayor is a doctor. That's ridiculous, because doctors are going to be, they're going to be on duty all the time. They'll be sitting there in the emergency room. Somebody's coming along to worry about one or another tax issues. He's got no time to play with you. You do not want that kind of mayor. So bad news. Now, the other very important, do not marry two wives, because then they can always join forces against you. And two are stronger than one, then you could be sure that they will be joining forces again. What do you think they talk about all day? Oh, what an idiot he is, right? So the only thing to do, if you made the mistake of marrying two, make sure you quickly marry a third. Because that way, one of them is bound to mess up the other two, and she'll come and try to, like, break them up by telling you everything that's going on. So at least you'll be able to stay on top of this. Man, as if we don't have enough tsaras. Okay. This is like... The other thing is, Omele Rav Rivkana, look, it's better to be mahapik ben evelat. It's better to sit around picking up pieces of dead animals in the shuk than to be mahapich in your words. Never, never commit yourself to something and then change it. You should. Yahin shulcha hein. Lav shulcha lav. And don't change your words. Okay. Others learn a slightly pushy pshat. Lo tepuch hafoch ben velata, you see in context, means to be working with the velas, right? Doesn't mean just to flip them over. So by the same token, hafoch does not mean to be mahapech your words, and hafoch means to be busy with words. So meaning learn to shut up. If you can't learn to shut up, it's just going to make you tsaris. Yeah, it's better to be mahapech with a velata. Okay, maybe. Pshot nevelata b'shuka v'shokel agra. It's better to be skinning dead animals in the marketplace, at least make some money, you know, rather than to say, well, you know, a very important man like me, I'm a Kohen, I'm a big Talmud Chacham, it's not proper for somebody like me to be making money in such a way. And that's, again, this is the Mokar for the Rambam, who says that the worst possible thing is to say that, you know, I'm not going to do work, but better let everybody support me. Another thing was that Mea Kari B'mata B'zuza, even if food is like basically going for free, you can even buy 100 pumpkins for a buck. I mean, for heaven's sakes, 100 pumpkins for a buck. Why, you could eat forever like that, right? I mean, what more is there to eat but pumpkins? So if you could even get 100 pumpkins for a buck, so you'd figure, okay, so I mean, if I'm going out, I got to worry about eating? Of course not. Wrong. Always bring food with you. Keep that food in your pocket and make sure that you are always going to have things with you. Sorry, I skipped the introduction to this, which was, even if you're going for a big trip up to your roof to check the water tank, make sure you take along a sandwich. Never leave without having a sandwich. And the same thing is true over here. Even if you've got 100 pumpkins for a buck, make sure you take some pumpkins with you. Never be without your pumpkins. And as I told you the story about my wife and I, as we were coming back from Sheva Brachas, how our life was saved by this Gemara. Not that we kept the Gemara as we should have, but my Shver did. But that's because of the Holocaust experience. But he never walked outside without having food with him, ever. Anyway, we once got stuck in this snowstorm, and it was just, we hadn't had anything to eat for God knows what. Our plane landed in the wrong airport. We had absolutely nothing to eat. There was no way to get any kosher food, and we're just really on the point of collapse. And all of a sudden, who comes walking down the hall? My Shver. And of course, he's got tons of food with him. So we just sat down and had ourselves a little party. Okay. So the Gemara definitely has got its applications. Omele Reb Chiya Lebre. Reb Chiya told his son, okay, first things is, don't take drugs, because drugs are going to get you hooked. And therefore, don't take drugs, says the Rashbam, don't take drugs, even if they're prescribed by a doctor and you need to take drugs, if they are the kind of drugs that are habitating, and that's a big problem, unless there's no choice. But if you can get another type of refuah, always try to avoid drugs, because then it's going to be really tough for you to get out of it. Very good advice. Lo tishva nigra, don't jump over a stream. Lo ta'akor kaka, don't take out a tooth. Always try to avoid needing to do an extraction. If there's any way to fix a tooth, fix it. The worst thing you can do is loosen your teeth by taking out a tooth. Do not get involved in fighting off a snake. They have long memories and they'll come after you. The same thing is true about a goy. There's actually three things you got to be careful about, even though you think you've got the stronger hand. One is a young nochre. That's all very nice. Right now, he's just a juvenile delinquent. But tomorrow, he's going to be a mafioso. Not the right person to start up with. A nachash katan. Oh, yeah, he's a little nachish now. But what happens when he becomes a big snake, like some people, which includes talmid katan? So if you've got a young talmid, yeah, right now, he's not dangerous. Give him a couple of years, and he'll come after you, I guarantee you. My time, huh? Listen, they got all these things they're keeping inside to be able to cause you tzoras. So, okay, right now you think you can get away with it and so on. You can never get away with it.